Welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. This episode is with Zach Sherwin. The Between Dreams podcast is a place where you can come to find inspiration, entertainment, and motivation to get out there and make things happen. I bring stories from amazing people to you. I travel around the world with my live theater variety show and meet incredible entertainers, travelers, writers, authors, interesting people of all kinds, bringing those stories to you. I know there's a lot of people out there who are dreaming about doing something and they want to do something and not sure how to start doing it. So what I am doing with this show is finding people who went through those hurdles and roadblocks and they're making things happen to inspire you and help you to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish too. This is the Between Dreams podcast. It's great to have big dreams, but it's important to do something between those dreams. That's what life is. That's life. Life happens between dreams. We're living, and I'm finding people who are making the most out of life, bringing the stories to you. This week is no exception. Of course, we have Zach Sherwin, who he creates his own brand of entertainment. He is a comedian and a rapper and does improvised songs. And you've seen him on Epic Rap Battles of History, the YouTube channel, just all over the place. And we talk about how important it is to be you. Do what you do. You don't need to fit this mold of what other people do or what other people want. You can create your own. You can be you and create your own style of whatever it is you're doing, whether you're an entertainer or In whatever business that you do, it's so important to be who you are instead of trying to be someone else. Because you're not someone else. You're you. We're all ourselves. So get out there and make something happen. Excited to share amazing stories with Zach. And we recorded this right before the Booby Trap show at Scott and Aerie's show in Hollywood, which we were both on this night. And Scott was there for the beginning part and kind of set us on this little bit of a deeper route of just, some deeper thoughts that really inspired a great conversation. And then Scott left and then went to prepare for his show. So that was fun. It was cool to have Scott there, at least to guide the conversation just a little bit at the beginning, so you'll hear some of that. And if you like this show, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, podcast app on the iPhone, Android. We're on iHeartRadio, and soon, maybe when you're hearing this, we will be on Spotify, so you can listen on Spotify, if not now, very, very soon, within the next week or so from when this gets published. And tell a friend. If you know someone who needs to hear this message, send them a link. Say, hey, you need to hear this. Go check out this podcast. It's awesome. So thank you guys so much. My name is Chris Ruggiero. This is the Between Dreams podcast, and our guest is Zach Sherwin.
Hey, man. We've been trying to make it happen for a long time.
We have been trying to make this podcast happen, I would say, for 2 years.
Wow, do you think it's that long?
Maybe.
Let's say it. Yeah, 2 years.
2 years. And because of LA things and showbiz things, it hasn't happened. But there's a lesson. You've got to keep trying.
Oh, an overall showbiz lesson.
Yeah. And then things happen. If you don't stop until they happen, they're going to happen.
Tenacity.
So we did it. We're making the podcast happen. We were right here before Scott Neri's Booby Trap show in Hollywood. Scott is there.
Literally in the room.
He's in the audience of one.
Hey, everybody. Stop listening now.
Oh, no.
He's good at that. He's good at showbiz.
What a saboteur.
We're canceled.
Anyway, okay. So let's be real. So for people who don't know anything about what you do, what's your, because you're like a comedian, but not really a normal, traditional stand-up comedian as people imagine. You kind of have your distinct, unique thing. So what exactly is it that you, in your words, would you say that you do?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Well, I am, in addition to doing comedy, I also have... I mean, I'm a rapper, too. I do musical comedy, and specifically, it's usually hip-hop. That's changing, and we can talk about that, but that is one of the things that I do. So yeah, I also do some stand-up. I rap. I write raps for other people. I improvise raps for myself. I have never improvised a rap for another person, but that sounds like a fun thing to do. Script a freestyle that someone could pretend to perform, I guess. And then I also do a bunch of like wordplay type stuff and letter games and, but I'm guessing the rap is the non-traditional stand-up thing you want to talk more about.
Just wanted to give them a little bit of an idea of what it is, because this show, as people that are listening know, there's comedians and there's travelers, and there's really, it's not just based on performers. That's why I like people that kind of make their own path of what it is, and I think that's what you have done. Instead of say, hey, I'm a stand-up comedian, or I'm a comedy music person, or I'm a rap, you know, there's all these things, that like four things that I feel like you have brought together that just is you.
Thanks. And I'll take it.
That's what I like, especially with people that don't have like their tagline or something isn't, you know, comedy juggler.
Right.
It's like a comedy juggler show. I always wanted to be, it's Chris Ruggiero.
Interesting.
Instead of, you know, I think Booby Trap, you know, a lot of the guests on the podcast are Booby Trap performers as well. And I think Scott, he's not paying attention, but has done a good job of that. It's not a comedy circus variety show or something. You know, it is. That's so that people know, but it's Booby Trap.
Right. I just got back from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
And I saw that the best thing I saw there was a troupe called Svalbard, Svalbard. And they defy description. They were extreme Cirque du Soleil style acrobats, but they also had like a loop pedal going, and they were all playing that. There was music, there was like, and political commentary, and then it turned into like a DJ club set at the end, and it was also kind of like physical comedy. I mean, yes, you can't really pin down exactly what they do, which probably is hard for them marketing wise. The show that I went to should have been, you couldn't have gotten a ticket to it, and it was 2/3 full or something like that. Yeah. But, you know, maybe it's harder when people can't like hang a label on
you.
I think that's true of the college market. Like I remember when I got into it, I don't know if it's still true because I'm less tapped right into it, but there were so many performers in the genre, like non-threatening white guy with a guitar. Because it was just so easy to understand what that was going to be when it came to your school.
They're like, that's exactly what the guy is supposed to look like that's in the cafe of our campus.
Right.
When
yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah. Comedian, rapper, writer. Those are the ones that I go for the most.
Going into that, of people traditionally want to package things through for everything. Showbiz and not. People like to know, oh, this is, you know, sugary cereal that's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a really formula for everything. Where has that been a challenge for you as and I feel like, again, you've said you've kind of evolving into different things now. Has that been a challenge as you've been trying to kind of, I would imagine when you're trying to sell yourself to people that you have to explain it and you have to say, it's like this, but it's also this.
You know, again, I'll say, I think that there's ways that it helps and ways that it is a challenge. Like when people need someone to do the things that I can do and they know me and they like me, I'm the first person they think of because it's a specific thing. Or I don't know if I'm the first person they think of, but like one of the things that I've done that's had the most, you know, that sort of is like the most point-to-able, is writing for the web series Epic Rap Battles of History.
Yeah.
Which like a lot of people might not know because it exists in the YouTube world, but within that world, it's like a juggernaut. And so those guys started the series, and I've been friends with Lloyd, one of the guys, for a long time. And so I think it was a natural ask to be like, oh, Zach does comedy and rap in a way that we know and we like him. So there it is. Or like I've written stuff for friends' TV shows and, you know, yeah. But then also, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know. I'm not sure. 'Cause you don't hear about opportunities that you don't get.
Right.
So yeah, that part's a cipher.
Luckily we don't hear about all the times that people were considering us. They're like, no.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I don't know how it would hold me back. I've like applied to be on, like, sent to, submitted is the word, not applied, to be on like late night shows.
Yeah.
And been told, oh, we don't really do like music on our show.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know if that's like holding me back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not in the sense of, I mean, it more like if someone was like, we have a juggling show, and you were like, I balance things on my head, they could be, you know, you could see someone being like, I see why you asked to be on this, but it's not exactly what our show does.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
the peg in the hole.
Right. Now, on the other side of that, what really cool things or moments or opportunities did you get because you were different? Has there ever been anything that people were like, oh, we've been looking at people that have been submitting straight stand-up comedy for, mm-hmm. you know, the past 100 people, and you were such a breath of fresh air. Has there been something where that being different has really paid off?
Well, you know, I think that especially early on when I started doing, I was in a comedy group out of college, and then the group broke up and I started performing solo, and I was only doing raps. I didn't even really have jokes in between at the time. But they were comedic raps. And I think that in the Cambridge, Massachusetts comedy scene where I started out doing that, being a rapper really set me apart. And so that was really helpful early on, and I got a lot of opportunities. And, you know, I think because I was doing a distinctive thing, it helped me stand out. And, you know, it's all like bricks in a wall. So I can trace back the lineage of things that I'm doing today that came about because of an opportunity. And that opportunity was brought about by an opportunity that came back from those Boston days. So I really do think, you know, if you, in hindsight, look back at those through lines, you can see like, oh, wow, I didn't even realize how important being a rapper in a mostly stand-up scene was at the time. But
right.
It would go on to have a really big impact.
Yeah, I like those things. And I think there's a lot of the performers here. I'm looking at Scott right now. Because I feel like there's...
I looked at Scott and then looked away from him. We'll keep a running
I'm
narrative.
Not sure why he's here. I thought he was going to co-host, but he's like, no, I'm not going to say anything. So now he's just sitting there watching.
He's like a silent partner.
It's really weird when you have an audience, but like there's just one. It's like doing a show. I think we've all probably been there, especially we've all done like a handful at least of college shows when you're like, if there's 100 people there, that's easy. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's like, you see like 3 people come in and then you're just like hoping like, maybe they'll just leave before the show starts. Yeah. And then we just like, they'll be embarrassed to be here. And then we just like, won't have to do it. Cause like after you have just like a small, ooh.
I have a question. Okay. Why do the weird thing? Why not be a normal stand up or just be a normal rapper?
Oh, I see.
Why are you doing that? Why do you care?
I think it's the, well, I wasn't ever really interested in stand up. And being a normal rapper, you know, normal means like, if that means like being like a traditional mainstream rapper, I didn't have like the life experiences or background that would enable me to do that in a genuine way to sound, you know, to talk about the things in my raps that, you know, quote unquote, normal rappers talk about. I grew up like a white Jewish suburban, you know, that was my background. So I wrote raps for a long time before I found a voice for them that felt authentic and like, oh, I can rap about this stuff and not feel like I'm pretending to be something I'm not, but also it is a genuine experience and like thoughts and ideas that I've had. So I don't think it was a decision like, oh, I'm going to choose this weird thing and, you know, carve my own lane out. It was more like, I want to do this stuff. And then I started doing it, and that was the form it took.
Thanks, Scott, for the question. Does anyone else have any questions?
Well, like the basis of my question is, it is hard. It's really hard to do that like genre bending stuff. Mm. And you've gone through a lot of struggles because of it, I'm sure, in a lot of different ways with like just figuring out your own identity, kind of the marketing. How do you talk to other people about it? How do you face an audience each time that doesn't know what to expect? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's probably something that's kind of deep that's driving you, that's beyond just that it didn't work out to be normal thing. So that's what I was kind of trying to get at. Like, what is there, like, did something happen to you when you were a child, or like, or was there something, just something magical that happened to you, or that you saw, or that you experienced, or some way that you developed in that made this important to you?
Wow. I love this question.
Maybe to combine onto that of where it came from is I'm also interested in, like, because it's hard, as you said, it's hard to do these things that are different, and just being in showbiz is hard. That's different right. enough than to be like not something that you can put in a predefined slot. So in combination to that, if it helps you answer, then what keeps you going? And then as well, why not just be like, okay, I'm just going to do something that is easier to fit into this, like, stand-up comedy club routine.
Sure. Well, these are existential questions. Like, name your past and name your present/future. Why take this hard road? Why make it so hard for myself? Wow. There's such a range of possible answers, and it's probably a cocktail of them. Probably one of them is, like, maybe this is the form that the human struggle to love oneself is taking from me. Like, I need to, like, battle super hard to prove, like, I can do this thing that I've decided to do. Probably part of it is, like, a contrariness that I inherited maybe from members of my family, where it's like, it's easier to do it the easy way. So I'm going to choose the harder, weirder way out of a sense of, like, I'm my own fucking guy. Can I swear on your podcast?
You just did.
Without getting edited.
And we're
or beeped.
Live.
I don't know. That's a really, really good question, and I don't have the definitive answer off the dome, but I like it. And the fact that I think it's such a good question makes me think that it pokes, like, some serious, deep, big feelings and thoughts and parts of the story. I don't know. I kind of want to talk more with you about that, but maybe, like, me kind of riffing it out and messing around with it isn't what we want on
now
this podcast.
If you want, yeah.
Or maybe that is what you want.
Yeah. If you want to go there now, if you, like, feel uncomfortable doing
it. No, I do feel uncomfortable, but
that's good.
As we are talking about right now, I swim towards discomfort and not the easy way.
There's something for me is kind of like conquering things.
Mm-hmm. Which do you also consider yourself in this category?
Yeah, because I don't really want to be a juggler.
Right.
Or a podcast host or a whatever the four or five things that I do kind of as jobs.
Yeah.
Scott's leaving.
Scott left.
And he is producing a show in like 45
yes,
minutes
fair.
And hosting a show. So managing 15 entertainers who
with their own
just
needs.
Take over his
Scott,
venue with their podcast. You guys have to see. We're going to do a little wrap up video at the end of this. You got to see my little podcast studio, which I built in the venue.
The lighting's really nice. It's relaxing. I don't know. You know, maybe you want. But I do feel at ease, and it's a little warm-like in here.
Great. And yeah, so that for me, it's like, I don't want to be a juggler, and it would be way easier if I just said, yeah, I'm a comedy juggler, because I could go on like a cruise ship and be the comedy juggler. But I do, like, you know, other things, and they're like, yeah, but we want to be able to put two words under your name. Mm-hmm. Like, there's literally been cruise ships who said that. We just need to put two words under your name.
Right.
And it's going to be comedy and something else. You can't have three, because these people are going to be confused and they're not going to come.
Right.
And it's like, so, like, comedy magician, comedy juggler, like, comedy musician, or, you know,
comedy
whatever.
Rapper. Sure.
And that, I think that's the same in the college world. They're going to be like, you have 2 seconds to say what you do, and they're going to either like you or not. And balance of what you know, 75% of what you look like, and then 25% of those two words that you give are whether you're going to get booked or not. They don't need to actually see you perform. They're
right.
So to answer your question, is that, yes, I like this thing of same thing for me. I'm not doing as many college shows as I did in the past, because I just feel like I've done that. Mm-hmm. And I recently looked at my, I have like a list of all the, I was like, wow, a lot of those. And now they're starting to kind of all feel the same. Mm. Show up and like a couple people show up or not.
Yeah.
And then it just started to lose its fun. And I still do them. If college people are listening to this, it's not like I'm not doing them, but I'm not doing, I'm focusing more on work in LA and kind of building my own,
right.
My own thing that I, that is just my own thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if you, Scott took it to a very deep.
Scott went in and then went out.
Yeah. And then he just left. Yeah. He literally just left.
Yeah.
So I think there was, it seems like you have a couple more things
Yeah. I mean, I really sympathize with the, like, no, I want to do this and have this very specific thing that I do. I want to prove to myself, the world, to take it to a psychological place, my parents, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you, one could go on conjecturing like that. But to prove that it's viable, this weird rap comedy word stuff hybrid that I'm pursuing, I do feel a strong drive to demonstrate that it is a thing, even though it defies categorization.
Yeah.
And what keeps it going? God, man, that's a tough question. I guess I'll answer you. I guess I'll answer it by saying, like, one of the most rewarding pleasures that I have is figuring out ways to take ideas from my brain that on the face of them, I think are like a tough sell, and then figuring out how to make it accessible to a crowd and to entertain them with it. I really like having that idea. So that's a very deep pleasure. I don't know. I can't guarantee that it'll like stay in the form that it is for the rest of my life. I have lots of thoughts about this. Not all of them baked through enough to start like flapping my yap about on a recording, but
yeah, well, that's what I like.
It's a big
I like
question.
I'm glad Scott kind of brought it there to like kind of discover things, because people listening are going to relate to it because they're in this thing of like, oh, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, there's a lot of people who are, oh, I want to be a magician, but I don't want to look like these other guys that have been the same thing for 10 years, 15 years. So I think that's good for people to hear that people that they see, like people see you and me and Scott and all these performers like doing it. And, but it's so great. It's been such a common theme with everyone I've been talking to is like, we're just kind of figuring it out, and it's never figured out.
Yeah.
It's just evolution. Like tonight I'm going to try this. And then the audience is like, whoa, how long the people ask me, like, how long did it take you to learn how to juggle? I'm like, I didn't learn. Like, right. I don't know my whole life.
Right.
Like to get to how good I was tonight, it took me until tonight. Like literally it took me exactly how many days I'm alive to get to how good I am today. And and they don't mean it. And they're just like, well, how long till you can be good? Like you can learn how to do the tricks that I'm going to do tonight in a week.
Yeah.
Cause I'm doing a three clubs. I'm doing the most basic things, but there will be people tonight. And this is going to sound arrogant, but it happens every week. So there will be people tonight after the show that say, hey, that I've seen jugglers before, but never anyone like you.
Mm.
It happens every week here.
Do you do the show every week?
Mostly. Yeah.
Cool. Go on.
And, or sometimes will people be like, well, that's the best juggling I've ever seen. I'm like trying not to like laugh. Because I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. Mm. But the way that I do, you know, the presentation that I have, and that's what I want to be. Because I don't, some of these people are like, how much do you practice juggling? Like 3 hours a day? I'm like, if I'm doing a show, I think about the juggling clubs.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my concern is so much more based on like creating a audience experience. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time thinking about that, and very little time thinking about the juggling tricks. But you know, I put 20 years into learning them before. So that foundation, so don't go up and be like a terrible juggler and be like, oh, he said, I don't need to practice.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that all fits in. I wanted to ask you when you were talking before about how you were kind of like doing things to, in a way, I think this was my words of conquering things. Something that I've been battling with is, especially with social media and things, I find that I'm doing a lot of things so that I can like post about it. I'm doing things for bragging rights. Mm. And it was especially a thing before. I was like, I don't want to quit and give up. because all these people are gonna, like, I'm gonna be like embarrassed from the people that I like went to high school with that think I'm like super at sure, a much higher Mr. level Hollywood. Than I actually am, because yeah. they're like, yeah, he's living in LA, he made it, he was on TV a bunch, you know, did right. all these things. So do you battle with that? So maybe my question is, when you're trying to conquer these things, is it for, do you, can you actually do it for yourself? And that's where I'm trying to go, where I just do things that I want to do that day instead of do something that's going to look more glamorous when I post about it on Instagram.
Hmm.
I don't know if wow. there was a question there.
No, it's a good question. You know, I grapple with these issues and questions all the time, and sometimes more acutely than others. And these days it's more acute. So, you know, part of my reaction to the question is like, I sort of have to like take a step back and just think about how it makes me feel and handle that for a second.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say to myself, like, dude, come in from the cold a little bit, like quit trying to do the weirdest thing you can that'll still work and like make it a little easier. But, yeah. It's not where the juice is for me. I mean, I do think that I'm getting better at being like I know that I don't want to just keep writing the kind of raps that I was writing when I started being my own performer. You know, when I left that group I mentioned before and started being my own performer, that's no longer juicy for me. And yeah. then I like changed it up a little bit and did another, what I consider to be like a second phase of like the kind of raps that I was writing. And then that's no longer exactly juicy for me. So now I'm like, well, until I can figure out where it's fun to write raps again, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not just going to write raps for the sake of like, that's what I've always done. It's a sunk cost. That's the identity I've carved for myself. I'm not going away from it. I'll probably freestyle some at the show tonight. I write lyrics for people when I'm hired to do so. And I sometimes write songs for myself that are like rappy, but it is different now. And, so maybe my answer to your question, to kind of loop it back, is like, I don't know. Maybe it would be good. In some ways, I think it would be healthy for me to like take some of the weirder stuff that I'm doing. And it's more the other thing for me. Like, not like I need to do it more for other people a little bit. Cause for right now, it's like really just me making stuff that I'm like, this is really cool and pushes the envelope. But even as I say those words, I don't think that's true. I think that the thing for me to be doing is like really honing in on like the specific thing that I really think is awesome and being like, who is going to come with me on this?
Yeah.
Cause, I don't want to do anything. If I'm going to do this crazy thing, we're so smart. We could have done anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do this crazy thing, it seems good to do the thing that really only I specifically can do and want to do. So, I don't know what my answer is to your question.
Yeah, no, that fits in. And Colin Wright's quote where he was like, the unique, I forget his word. He's like, he's so smart. And he basically said, there's no one more you than you. No one could be more you or than you, you know, the Dr. Seuss similar thing. And he talked about that, the, just how valuable it is to what we're talking about, to do what only you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, to swing it back to all the things that I'm, you know, it's like, we were just talking about how now I have like these, every week I pretty much now I have at least one paid videographer gig where I'm shooting projects for other people. And that became out of like, I was actually liked editing my promo videos for 10 years. I got really good at it and I was really interested in it. Now people are like, hey, can you make mine? And that was just something that like, if I just decided I wanted to do that for the money, I would have never, people wouldn't have been like reaching out to me to do it. It would have been really hard. And it was like, cool. Now that's like a part of what I do. Mm. And then I'm doing shows and then I record the podcast. Now I just launched my new show, Stellar Mystique, which is like an interview, but live show, which there's not a show like that in LA. And there's not very many that are that format really in general that I've found. And that's what everyone's telling me, like, oh, that's a really cool format, a way of doing this. So to loop that back again to the people that are listening, of find some value in that is the you. And I think that's what our theme here of this whole episode is going to be, is like, you don't need to fit into that mold that it feels like you really need to. A lot of people are going to say, well, no, we need this. If you want to work on a cruise ship, you need to be a comedy juggler. Well, then I'm like, okay, I don't want to work on a cruise ship.
Right.
And that's what I made the decision. I mean, I have worked on, again, I don't want to sabotage myself here. And I have worked on some things, but there are, that as an example, there's certain things that like, no, we need this. I'm like, oh, I don't do that. And that's okay. And there's something so strong about holding to this, like, oh yeah, I'm not a good, and I've been doing this so much. I'm like, yeah, I'm not a good fit for that, but I can throw you like four recommendations of my friends who would be way better at that.
Yeah.
And I don't want extra money. You know, just like I'll give the gigs to my friends. And there's, it's just like being able to say no to things maybe is where this is all coming into.
Sure.
By sticking strong to what you are and what you do. I talked too long there. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, it all, but like not to romanticize it, it also takes vision and resolve and sort of like a, you know, I'll use the word tenacity again. Yeah. Like, and you have to really like believe, I think it sounds like a corny cliche, but you really have to believe that like you're doing a thing. And then I think beyond that, it's like you can believe that you're doing a thing and work hard on it. And then beyond that, it's sort of like the other two things are figuring out how to be smarter about how you work at it, not just working hard at it. And then also like luck.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, do you know a thing I've been talking about lately is like, did you ever read The Phantom Toll Booth when you were a kid?
No.
It's like a story where a boy goes on a magical quest. It's a great children's book that I remember very fondly.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of his quest, this king, this like wizard king of the kingdom is like, hey, there's something I need to tell you, but I can't tell you till you're back from the quest. And then it's not mentioned again. And then the boy goes on the quest. Spoiler alert. It works out great. He comes back. There's a victory party. And the king says, hey, do you remember at the beginning of this, I told you that there was something I had to tell you about your quest, but I couldn't tell you till after you came back. And he says, yes. And the king says, well, I'm ready to tell you now. And that thing is, this quest is impossible. And the boy's like, but I did it. And the king's like, right. If I told you that at the beginning, you wouldn't have done it. So sometimes I think, is this like, I mean, do I need to spell out the parallel? Sometimes I'm like, I hope that I win the quest. And at the end, I look back and I'm like, that was impossible. I can't believe that I did it.
Yeah.
Then the question is like, what is winning the quest? Maybe we've already won the quest by doing what we've done, or even just getting to be people doing what we're doing, even if it doesn't turn out to be what we do in this exact way for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
We know that it won't be what we're doing now in the exact way that it is now for the rest of our lives. Things definitely will change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's power in that of the question of what if we already did win this thing?
Yeah.
And that, I think about that because some days I'm just like, what am I doing? I want to be doing this and I want to be doing this. And then I often think back to like me even 5 years ago, which isn't that long. You know, young people listening will think that's crazy long, but as you get older, 5 years ago is just not that long ago. And if I think back to myself 5 years ago and I would show that person a snapshot of like a month of what I'm doing right now, they'd be like, whoa, you did it. You did it. You made it to Hollywood. You made it to LA. You're hosting pod. You're doing all these things. And that person would be like, whoa, you did it. And now I'm like, you know, it's you know, I think we should more often kind of look at our Instagram selves as well, other people are, and say, well, you really, most of us have accomplished way more than we're giving ourselves credit for. And we're way closer to where that we want to be, even though it feels like we aren't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally pulling up Instagram as we talk. My friend Ramin Nazer, R-A-M-I-N, and then N-A-Z-E-R, is an amazing artist. And he posted something on Instagram today, and I'll describe it, and people can look it up and see it for themselves. But half of the square says, right now feels like this, and it shows like a little rainbow beset by missiles bombing down on it, like black, dark death missiles. And so it says, right now feels like this, but it's actually this. And then their like psychedelic rainbow rocket ship is like flying through space triumphantly and beautifully and with like lots of flair and gusto. So, you know, his Instagram is very wise and has like really good day-to-day kind of like reminder stuff.
Spell that again. So
yeah, sure. Ramin is like R-A-M-I-N and Nazer is N-A-Z-E-R.
But that's just all one word.
Ramin Nazer, yeah.
On the Instagram.
Mm-hmm. He did the cover for my second album.
Cool. Yeah, and there's like, yeah, those missile things are really big when it feels like it's like the shrug, mm-hmm. the roadblocks. I've been talking a lot about roadblocks and how we create them in our brain. And those black missiles coming out are big when it says it feels like, but it's actually, then on the bottom half, they're actually really small, and like the powerful rainbow mm-hmm. rocket ship is really big. And then yeah. it's like those things aren't even, we're just gonna plow through them.
Yeah.
They're gonna hit us and we're not even gonna feel them.
Right. It's just remembering that you're really the powerful rocket ship rather than the little tiny rainbow point, which is all you can see sometimes.
Yeah. You're a powerful rainbow rocket ship. All of you little people out there. So cool. We went pretty deep into the deep thought stuff, and let's bring it back to just like a fun thing of what's like a really fun experience that you've had, or what's the feeling of when you get up on stage and things are working. I remember the first, I think it was the first Booby Trap here at this venue, and I had like a crappy video that I wish that it was better. And it was like, you're up there, you go boom, 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 and then you're like, boom, your arms go up in like 150 people's arms go up in unison, boom, boom. I was sitting in the back and I was like, whoa.
That worked. Was a powerful moment.
So like, what's that feel like in some people that are listening, like want to be an entertainer or want to do something and they've never got that feeling. What's that feel like when things click and work?
I just did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I think I said that already.
Yeah.
It was after we were recording. Anyways, if I didn't, I just got back from being in Scotland for 2 weeks doing that. And I was performing with a really great musician who does this show sometimes, Scott Show Booby Trap, named Drennan Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And he has he does like loop pedal, amazing musical comedy. And he has a music stand with all this gear on it. And one of the shows we were doing in Edinburgh, it like overbalanced and just like the gear like slammed to the ground on the music stand. And I had just gotten off stage and I went back because I was like, Drennan started like, you know, things crashed to a halt and he started kind of, you know, awkwardly picking up the music gear. And I was like, well, this can't happen. And so I went out there and just grabbed the mic off the stage and started like freestyling to the crowd about how we were going to cover this moment with like some freestyle, and the crowd just like, I instantly knew that I had chosen the right thing.
Yeah.
And then I was rapping really fast. His loop was still going and it was a fast loop. And so I was like rapping to it and it just was all working. And you know, that feeling when you're right in the pocket and you're like, right now I've clicked in and it's invincible. Like any decision I make is going to be great because I feel like any decision I make is going to be great. And I rapped through a minute or two that it took. It didn't take long for him to reset, but it took some time. It would have been really uncomfortable without something happening.
Yeah.
And my rhymes were great. They were fast. The crowd was right with us. Everyone knew it was the right thing to be happening at that sensitive moment in the life of the show. And that's just, I mean, you know, it's really beautiful. Like, for a person who values creative inspirations, finding one under such intense circumstances is very heady and feels wonderful. So that's the most recent moment I can remember where when I look back, I'm like, how did I have that idea? Sometimes I'll look through old rap notebooks of mine or just like writing notebooks and I'll be like, oh wow, how did I make that jump from this to this? I don't even know what part of me did that, but I'm like impressed with it. Retrospectively, when I look back on that moment, I'm like, oh, it was the right moment to go grab the mic. And then it was the right moment to do the kind of freestyle I did. And there was a trick that I was going to do that I just was like, don't do it. Just be in the moment right now. And I was like, oh, it was good that I followed that impulse. It's not a guarantee that I made that choice the right way, but I did. So that's just cool.
That's something that doesn't happen as an amateur, but through preparation of being on stage and knowing, and you've collected this toolbox of things that subconsciously you knew, you're like, oh, there was this one thing from this show when this thing happened and I acted like this or something. And there was a lot of stuff that went into you being a professional with however many years of being on stage, and like probably most of those lessons come from the bad shows of how you have to mm-hmm. get out of your what you were planning on doing.
Right.
And actually being engaged with the audience. When we show up at a show and there's eight people there, like I can't do my grand epic thing. I have to talk to them like humans. I'm like,
right.
So that is a lesson. And then the next show is a lesson. And then in that moment like that, all of those years come together for that one. I said how long did it take you to learn how to juggle? Up until today. And that tomorrow I'm going to be better because tonight something's going to happen.
Yeah.
That I'm going to say, oh, that worked.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that didn't work.
Totally. And, oh man, what was I just going to say? It'll come back to me, but yes. Yeah, you have to, I totally agree. It's all the tip of the cumulative iceberg.
And also there's something in that, sure, you were prepared and you kind of like had that toolbox ready to jump in, whether you were thinking about it or not. And it sounds like you kind of weren't, you just had to go in, mm-hmm. but you did have to make that decision. That was a real decision. Like, oh, do I let him? Is he going to figure it out? Or do I go in? And there's like there's like a 10-minute process that happens in 2 seconds of like, do I go? Do I stay? Do I? And it's like, that's where that magic of what I was talking about happens with on stage. And you'll see Scott do it. You'll see most any performer that has experience do it. They make these decisions like picking an audience member. Or abandoning, they're up here, but they're just, I gotta make the decision. For me, it happens with kids. If I do kids shows, I need to make a decision. Do I ignore them? Do I bring them up on stage? Do I yell at them? You know, there's like four different options, and it has to happen fast, because if it doesn't happen right away, you lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. We probably don't, I mean, it's like to take it back to this rocket ship illustration, you forget that you're this, you take it for granted. This is what I was going to say a second ago. You take the iceberg, the spear that you're the tip of, you take the spear part for granted and you're just like, ah, I'm a tip. But sometimes people will say to me, like when I have a good show and I'm rapping afterwards, a thing that's happened on more than one occasion, it doesn't happen on a weekly basis, but it's happened enough times that I've noticed the pattern. People will say, that was great. And I'll say thanks, and they'll go, how did you remember all the lyrics? And I always think, I'm glad you're impressed, and you're right to be impressed, but you are impressed for the wrong reason. Like, that is the basic building block of, that's like the delivery mechanism.
Right.
Like, the thing to be impressed by is how comfortable I made you feel, how I made you trust me to take you on this journey, how the writing that I put into it, the fact that I had the idea for that particular song in the first place, the fact that I had the idea to be this comedy rapper guy in the first place, like,
yeah.
Those are all things that you could, that I would applaud you for being impressed by. And I'm glad that you're impressed by how did you remember the lyrics, because sure, it's hard to remember lyrics, but you've been practicing those. I mean,
it goes back to people saying, oh, how you're a good
you're
juggler.
Juggling tricks. Right.
Which, like, again, it's like, I'm like, oh, I don't care about them, though.
Yeah. If that is the level at which it impresses you, then I'm glad that I provided that for you.
Yeah.
You know, far be it from me to say, oh, don't like me because of that. Like, right, I want you to like me. I'm glad I entertained you. But it's just so funny to be oneself and to be like, ah, I have so many more rooms that you could be enjoying this in. And maybe you did on a subconscious level, and that's just like the first compliment you think to give. But maybe one other thing for that audience member to be impressed by is like, wow, that was great. Like, it's so cool to see you now at the most recent show at the end of a gigantic chain of shows that you've been doing for years and years in this business. Like, if someone ever gave me that compliment, I would be like, you are a sophisticated audience member.
Right.
You must be a performer yourself.
Yeah. Cool. That's, we went deep and shallow and everywhere in between. I think we need to go get ready for this show, first of all.
Yeah. Thanks, and, Chris. This was unexpectedly, real.
It was crazy. And we'll have one final note to wrap it all up. And as always, we've touched on all of it, but I like the ending one to be somebody who's feeling like just the little tip of the rocket ship, and they're seeing all those missiles coming in, roadblocks, hurdles, and their brain is making them bigger than they actually are because sometimes they don't even exist. Mm-hmm. And they want to start a podcast. They want to start a YouTube channel. They want to get up on stage. They've been thinking about that open mic night that, and they just can't bring themselves to go do it.
Right.
Whatever it is that they're doing, or, you know, they want to text that girl in math class or whatever. Mm. Whatever level they're at, they're sabotaging themselves mostly with their brain. What do you say to that person to help them get over it?
And to take that step that they want to take?
To make that, to decide to be, say, all right, I can handle that roadblock. Let's go. Let's make this happen.
Wow. What would I say to myself? Well, you know, this is so hard to talk about without lapsing into cliches.
That's okay.
The fact that you don't want to do it so much, the desire to not do it is in direct proportion to how much you should do it, if only because it's a thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
The comfort zone cliche is the one I'm trying to avoid here.
Yeah. You can do it. That's what people are, it's going to work. So you don't need to be.
Right. And it'll be,
you don't need to make, I know you like making things difficult.
Yeah. Totally.
You just did
right.
it.
I did it. This
you
is
don't.
Me.
You
this
just,
is my,
you can make
this
it
is
easy.
My struggle being this guy.
You just saw it happen in real time.
Yeah, that was it.
Just made, he was like, I have this thing that's super relevant, but it's easy. So I'm going to make it harder for myself.
Yeah. I can't just say it the way that everybody will understand like everybody else would say it. And then I guess, no, I'll leave it at that. That's perfect. Why do I need to take it beyond that?
Yeah.
That's both the thing, my actual answer to your question. And also, it's such a nice way to demonstrate the thing we were talking about before. It's perfect.
Yeah. Great. That's it. I think I'm going to listen back to this one and really be impressed with all the things we talked about. So thank you for joining.
Thanks for having.
Thanks to Scott, who never came back.
Scott like cracked the walnut and then dropped it and walked away.
He'll be listening though. So thanks Scott for listening. And again, thanks Scott as well right now for helping with this podcast. He throws in a lot of behind the scenes thoughts and inspiration to make it better. And that's
Scott's
another
wise,
great thing.
He
knows
dude.
What he's talking about, and we appreciate him helping. He's done so much to help me since I moved to LA less than 2 years ago. So anyway, how do we find you if we want to find you? Instagram, website, Twitter, where we want to send people?
Yeah, Zach Sherwin for everything. Zach, and then Sherwin, like Sherwin Williams paint, because I got it covered.
We went easy to tie it all back. All right, follow him up. Where's your favorite place? Where's your optimal place if you want to send people to one place? Instagram?
YouTube.
Don't give people options. We've learned.
Go to YouTube.
Okay.
.com/Zach Sherwin.
Got it.
Yeah.
So do that, and thank you.
Thanks.
That's it. Thank you so much for listening. I know the internet is full of things for you to click on, so we really appreciate that you decided to click on this. And listen, you made it all the way to the end, unless you skipped ahead, which that's okay too. You made it to the end. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone else who needs to hear this message, send them a link. The only way that we can continue to make this show happen and continue to improve the show is by getting more listeners. So we need you to help us out. If you enjoy this episode or this show, make sure you subscribe to wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, podcast app, or iHeartRadio, or Google Play Music, or Spotify, which is going to be happening within the next week or so after this is uploaded. So by the time you're hearing this, we might be on Spotify. So I don't know how you subscribe to whatever. You know what to do. You know how to internet. The internet. People. So again, thank you so much, and we are coming at you with new guests all the time. So if you have any ideas or anything, send me a message. You can figure it out. Add me on Instagram. I'm at @onemanvariety. Send me an email. You can figure out how to find my email. Go to my website. It's chrisruggiero.com/podcast. And thank you guys so much again, and thanks to Zach for joining at this. I'm killing a few seconds here at the end because I think there's a song break coming right there. Thank you. That is all. And goodbye.